Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks. Long week, long couple weeks here. We saw the end of an era. Bellator is no more. And so many other things went down. We just had a really great boxing match. Potential Canelo Alvarez fight. But what Benavidez did. So much to discuss. I did not make anything off the last UFC card, but last Bellator card, the last Bellator card, I did a Hail Mary and won $230 on the third round knockout in the main event against the undefeated guy that was never supposed to even have a problem with this guy, but the guy's name, nickname, Tony, you'll love this. The ass kicking machine.
Nice.
Jason Jackson. I guess, I mean, of the time we missed, I don't even think we got to preview this one. And you knew something was going on behind the scenes because the whole broadcast crew at the end of this card, it's Bellator 301. Yaroslav Amosov in the main event against Jason Jackson. The whole production crew, like all the color people, were all like, we don't know what's next. Like, you know, you could tell Bellator was going to get sold. So it ended up getting sold to Professional Fighters League, which just got that huge infusion of cash from the Arabians. You know, the Saudis there trying to do their whitewashing through sports. They got into that organization now, and the timing was just beautiful because we just had a pretty decent PFL championship go down. And there's some interesting characters in there. And what they have done, interestingly enough, before we even talk about that last card, what they've done already is they said early next year, PFL champions will fight Bellator champions. So they're going with the business as usual line for now, as far as what they're doing with Bellator. But it sounds like they're going to, at least for a minute, keep them separate organizations, but they're going to start right off the bat by having these guys fight each other. Hopefully it's not like the Pride situation where UFC is like, oh yeah, we just bought Pride. We're going to have the Super Bowl of MMA. never really existed after that. Pride was just dead. Anyway, so it's going to get interesting. There were some fights on that PFL card. We'll talk about it later, but the main event, final Bellator card under Bellator ownership, I guess you could say. Jason Jackson. Jason, the ass-kicking machine Jackson. Took on this guy, Yaroslav Amosov, 27-1 is this guy now. But he was undefeated going in. And just was mowing through people. A couple split decisions mixed in, but submissions mostly for finishes. And a lot of unanimous decisions. One KO, way back in the day. Oh no, this is a list of the fights that night. I'm talking about Amosov. Not looking at his record. He had 27-1 going in. 10 submissions, 9 knockouts, 8 decisions. And he got knocked out by Jason Jackson in the third round, which was crazy odds. Crazy odds, but I looked at Jason's record and I was like, yeah. this guy's probably one of the best guys he's ever seen. Rich is going to knock him out. He's probably going to do it in the first three. He didn't want to go to those championship rounds that freaking Amistad was just known for running through. I mean, the guy's nickname is Dynamo. So you don't want to give him too much time in there. So Jason Jackson took him out. I did the straight up parlay bet on that alone, third round knockout, like $5 or whatever, $233 payout, something like that. I'm like, sweet. Not a bad bet. So that was the main event. Then we had Patrick Mix beating our former guest, Sergio Pettis, by a second round rear naked choke in a big bantamweight title fight in the co-main event. And I'm sure we'll see all these guys in the PFL mix eventually. Rafion Stotts at bantamweight beating Danny Sabatella by decision. AJ McKee over great fighter named Sydney Outlaw. Unanimous decision. Alexander Chablis at lightweight beating Patricky Freire, the title holder's brother there. Unanimous decision. And Archie Colgan at lightweight beating Peter Buist by unanimous decision. Denise Keelholtz before that at flyweight beating Sumiko Inaba by UD. I'll go through all the preliminaries. But yeah, PFL did not waste any time either over the weekend. They actually have already done a deal with ESPN, so it's almost like it's personal there. It's just like, okay, we're going to be right up next to you on ESPN. Let's see how this goes down. And they just poached Ngannou. You know, they've got Jake Paul signed to something. We don't know if he's ever going to have an MMA fight in there, but it's going to be crazy. We'll see. They just did multi-year rights deal with ESPN. And at least we had some boxing last weekend in Vegas. Did you watch the Somebody's Always Got to Go fight we didn't get to preview, Tony?
I did not. I was working all weekend. So, unfortunately, I did not get to see anything of anything this past weekend. I did see the results, obviously, and from what I heard, it was not a very competitive fight.
Yeah. Well, Benavidez.
You know, the thing is, like, a lot of people, like, hey, you can't take anything away from a guy like Andrade. He's a good fighter, you know. One thing about him is I don't think he's ever really connected with the fan base. So he's a guy that can never really be a star. I just don't know what it is. I don't know if it's his style. I don't know if it's his personality. It is just something that's not there, right?
Yeah.
And so it was, and Benavidez is a monster. I mean, the dude's a monster. Kind of, you know, went to the course what they thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to look good against Benavidez. I mean, he's coming forward so much, and he seems to have a good cardio, good chin. And Andre, I thought there were times when he really tried to stay in the pocket and trade with him. I know that sounded absurd, but, you know, he was too small to fight from a distance. I think he did the best he could, but he's just hopeless.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right.
His punches just didn't seem to phase Benavidez at all. So, as you said, kind of like just what we thought.
Yep, and he's already calling for Canelo Alvarez wants to fight.
Yeah, I mean, that's a smart thing to do.
So. The 99th time. For the 999th time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we get it. You know, you want to fight him. You've told us that again and again and again. He's probably not going to fight you. Deal with it. up to 175.
You know what? I'll play him. I don't know how much, you know, viewership it got. Not a great weekend to have a pay-per-view fight, to be honest. I mean, holiday weekend, people are traveling. Now, one positive potential is, say, you have family coming in from out of town. Hey, all the guys are getting together. Yeah, we're all together tonight. And there's a fight on. Let's get this fight together and we'll hang out as the guys and watch the fight. So, you know, that could get some eyes on it. But for the most part, we have a fight on weekend. You know, if the fight was on like an app where you could get it for free, or if you at least have the subscription, that's a better idea. You know, you get people like, for me, it wouldn't have made sense to order that card because I was away so much this weekend. I would have been home in time for the main event, but I wouldn't have been home in time to order it and really get my money's worth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's... Well, I don't think I got home until about 9 o'clock.
Benavidez is strutting his stuff. He thinks he's got it made now.
Going
to get the million-dollar fight. We'll see. The
co-main
event was good,
too. What would be interesting about Benavidez and Canelo. Benavidez is a monster, and he's really been knocking people out, right? And beating them up and knocking them out. And, yeah, Canelo's definitely lost a step. You can see it. But we're also talking about a guy who's never seen canvas.
Yeah.
Benavidez put him there. That and then you also have the Canelo is such a good boxer. You know, he's improved that part of his game so much. He's become a really good boxer to go along with this chin. So could he, you know, use that ability, you know, where Andrade did not have, you know, the arsenal to get Benavidez off him? Canelo does. Canelo does have good punching power, you know, even though he doesn't have the one punch power that he used to. He's got that physical nature where he can bang you to the arms and really, like, beat you up on the inside. So, you know, that would be a very competitive fight. And honestly, I think it would be a toss-up.
Yeah. Well, we may never know.
And
you know what a lot of the talk is? A lot of people are talking about David Morrell. Great fighter, but he's only had 9 fights. And they're really pushing for Benavidez to fight him. And I think that let that fight marinate. I think it would be kind of silly for Benavidez to fight David Morrell. I mean, I know the three of us know who he is, but most people don't.
Yeah.
And, Benavidez really has a lot of hate online. And I don't understand why. I mean, he's not a super trash talker. You know, he seems to have, I don't know where the hate comes from. And they're saying, well, you know, who's he beat? You know, we're hearing that again.
Yeah.
And I just think it sounds crazy with all these guys talking this David Morrell stuff. I mean, let it marinate. But hopefully we'll get the Canelo fight. But Canelo, while I was reading, he's got about 3 fights left, and really he can kind of decide what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Fight Jamal Charlo. I don't think that would be too good at the pay-per-view, but, you know,
he's
going to
retire.
He wants.
And then sign the Floyd rematch.
Yeah.
Three fights in. All right. So we also had a bad night for the Benavidez family. Jamal Charlo staying undefeated, 33-0, for the unanimous
decision.
That was
ugly. Ugly.
Jose
ugly.
Benavidez Jr. And a guy that we've been reporting on at Fight News Unlimited for years, Vito Melnicki Jr., improving his record to 15-1 with a TKO over Alexis Salazar Flores, 25-5. So, also had some other interesting fights. Hector Luis Garcia losing by split decision to Lamont Roach, 23-1-1. I don't think he's any relation to Freddie. Lamont Roach. super featherweight. then Sergey Lipinets, 17-2-1, losing by unanimous decision to Michael Rivera, or Michelle Rivera, who improved 25-1.
You know, Lipinets is another guy that's on the back part of the nine.
Yeah. And Pablo Vicente losing by unanimous decision to a guy whose name I am definitely going to butcher, Muhammad Kuja Yakubov. 21-1 now. I threw it right away. That was a pretty good card. Pretty decent. We also had big female fight. Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
Winning a majority decision over Chantel Cameron in Dublin. Go figure. Majority decision type match, you know. you think the Irish girls are yet? Wow. So yeah. I did not see any footage of that one, but it sounds like a barn burner type fight. And pretty much every female title for that week last night was on the line. 18-0 versus 22-1 Katie Taylor. Chantel coming in 18-0. Undefeated till now. IBF World Super Lightweight, IBO World Super Lightweight, WBA World Super Lightweight, WBC World Super Lightweight, and WBO World Super Lightweight. From the championships. So. You can't have a fight in Dublin. Well, the guy named Paddy on it, right? Paddy Donovan, nonetheless. 11-0, TKO's Danny Ball, who obviously was not on the ball that night. 13-1-1, that's his record going in. Like second loss. and then there's a great set of names fighting each other. With these names, you'd think they'd write a romance novel. Sky Nicholson, 8-0, TKO'd Lucy Wildheart, 10-2.
Wow.
For the WBC Interim World Featherweight title. Lucy Wildheart. That sounds Native American. Had the Benavidez fight. Back into Friday. So what else did we miss since the last broadcast? Big boxing. Let's see. Come on, press your luck. Big boxing, no whammies.
No, not really. You know, we talked some boxing. The tree line. I was talking to a lot of the guys about it. We're talking to Tyson Fury, and we were talking, we're just talking, just different guys and, what we see going on. It's funny, I saw a guy at the tree lot the other day that recognized me from last year. And then I seen him, he was like, wait, you're the guy from the gym that does the boxing in there. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. So we started talking. He knows, watched some fights, nothing too big. But are you ready for my game plan for this weekend?
What do you got for this weekend?
Okay. First thing I want you guys to do is go out. Right now, log on. Richard, you're a guy that likes to do a lot of stuff with money. I want you to buy some stocks.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to buy stocks in any caffeinated product, preferably 5-hour energy drinks and Death Wish coffee, because I'm going to be consuming a lot of it this weekend.
Oh, geez.
So yeah.
I have tried every coffee in this grocery store but Death Wish coffee, because at the grocery store level, it's like $20 for one cake cup.
No, you gotta order it online. I get like 50 K cups sent to me every 2 months for like $40.
Yeah.
It's like 80 cents a K cup. So now, here's my game plan for this weekend. I'm taking every Tuesday and Friday off of my regular job for the rest of the year. First of all, you're gonna get a laugh out of this. So my team, we're client relations. So a few years ago, we were under the account management banner. About 2 years ago, they put us under back into operations. We're like an extension of customer service, but we're client service. So last year, after Christmas, we get a note that because January 1st was on a Sunday and Observed was on a Monday, they said, well, our team has to work. We're like, you know our clients are all closed, right? They're like, yeah, but they want us to work. So the 10 of us sat there for 5 hours. I know I watch YouTube videos. We all work from home, so who gives a shit, right? They paid us time and a half for those 5 hours plus the 7.5 hours that we were getting for a holiday. Sure. I didn't complain. Then they're like, Martin Luther King Day. Let's do it again. And I said, you know our clients are closed, right? We're not going to get any phone calls. They said, nope, they want us to work. I sat there for about 6 hours watching YouTube videos, getting time and a half. Fine. So then they said, no, we're not working any more company holidays. I said, oh, good. Are you good? Good. Finally, you're catching on. No Memorial Day, no Labor Day, no Independence Day, none of that. I take off last Wednesday because we get our tree shipping in. So I take a PTO day. I got a dozen days that I can still take for the remainder of this year. Yeah. So I take Wednesday off, and I'm working. I get home Wednesday around 4 o'clock. I said, let me see if my dumbass client sent me anything while I was off today. And they sent 5 emails, like, I'll take care of these when you get back. I said, okay. And I see a bunch of IMs from my team. I don't look at them because I assume that they are, have a nice Thanksgiving, have a nice hot long weekend, whatever. Friday, I do 14 hours at the tree lot. I come home 10 o'clock at night, or I believe they're 10 o'clock, get home around 10:30-ish. My dumbass goes, let me look at my work computer to see if anybody sent me anything today. Ha, ha, ha.
Mm.
I had 2 or 3 emails from my one client, nothing urgent, and I see a shit ton of IMs. So who the hell is IMing me on a holiday? Why is my team IMing me?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, how's everybody feeling today? Oh, I got a turkey hangover. Oh, I'm so full. What is going on? So I scroll up higher and higher. Hey, everybody, just know you. Let me know. We're working on Friday. They announced it on Wednesday. They told us on Wednesday.
Oh,
and I'm like, so I had a meeting the other day with my boss, and I was like, you know, I had no idea about this. He said, didn't we work last year? I said, listen, I have not worked a Black Friday since 2009. I have been with this company for 10 years. I've never worked a Black Friday, whether I was in client relations or customer service. And they're like, oh, okay.
I was going to mention that.
So like, I can't get in trouble. You told me it Wednesday at 2 o'clock when I was off. So now, worked a lot this weekend. 14 hours Friday, 9 hours Saturday, 10 hours Sunday. I had one customer during the Eagles game. They're like, what big Eagles fans? I'm thinking, why the fuck are you here then? You got to get out of here so I can go back in the trailer and watch the game. It's pouring rain, you idiots.
Yeah. So
I'm
like,
nice. I'm good.
You like
now,
this
here's
one.
Here's my game plan for this weekend. Buy your stock in caffeinated products right now. So I got off tomorrow. I'm going to sleep in, which to me is probably 6:30. 8:30. Then I'm going until Sunday night. Tomorrow. 2 to 10, tree lot. That's easy peasy. I'll probably be in a tank top all day. So I'll be at the tree lot for those 8 hours. I'll get home around 10:30, get in a shower, go to bed around 11:30, maybe midnight, be up at 6, back to the... Taking the train to Center City, Philadelphia, because my boy Sly Stallone is going to be there. It's Rocky Day, and you know I got to be there. So... I was like, now, they were having a thing where you could, remember I tagged you in it, Rich, for a chance to win the meet and greet kind of thing?
Yeah.
Apparently I didn't win, and I'm not happy about that.
Sorry, mate. My new freaking laptop's going nuts here. Oh, I just had to reconnect here. Okay, continue.
So, I said the people that won the costume contest for the run, because I won first place, should get bounced to the top of the list. They don't respond to that. So I'm like, okay, let's keep thinking here. I said, I'm just showing the fuck up. I'm just showing up. they've got 20 VIPs. They haven't announced what the rest of the deal here is. I said, I'm just going to shut the fuck up. And someone goes, well, what are you going to do when you go? I said, well, people are going to be there in Rocky sweatsuits or Rocky, like the gray hoodie, and they're going to be in like the black and gold robe or the meatpacking robe. They're going to be in that. I thought about doing Thunderlips. I thought about it, but I said, no. What do I have that stands out more than anything? The Apollo outfit. Because remember, the hat is almost a foot tall.
Yeah.
So that there puts me at about six. It's about a 10-inch hat, so it puts me at about 6 foot six. And it shines. So, and let's not forget, Sly has seen that because a friend of mine is an impersonator and has had me do birthday, you know, like little videos where like we would all jump on and say something, like send a birthday greeting for his past birthday, and he has reacted. So he has seen me. I'm on his radar.
Yeah.
It's a shot, right? In the first movie, when Rocky's in the bar and they're looking at Apollo on TV, and the guy said something, and Rocky goes, oh, man, what can you say? I mean, the guy took a shot, you know, and the bartender goes, you want me to take a shot? Fine, I'll take a shot. Down the shot of whatever. So this is me taking a shot, right?
Nice.
What's the worst that can happen?
Oh, you'll definitely get some good attention either way.
Okay. I just want a photo.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Yes. Is there an autograph session going on, VIP area?
I don't know. See, the people that are, the 20 random people that are getting picked,
yeah.
Get their picture with him in front of the statue. I emailed them directly and said, yo, if I don't get picked, what's the price? They didn't respond.
Oh, jeez.
I'm blunt. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they said something ridiculous, like $1,000, they tell me to fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
But if they said something like $200, let's do it. Let's go.
Right. Well, anyway, we will keep our eyes out for that. That would be awesome if you got that opportunity.
Yeah, and then I'll get back from that probably around 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, go to the tree lot, 3 to 10.
So how many trees have you sold?
We've been doing pretty good. I'm at like 4-something in tips already.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I made $139 alone on Black Friday, which was $40 more than I made last year on Black Friday.
Well,
easy money, you know? I mean, hey, my buddy that runs it, he's a very good businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one guy. Hopefully he doesn't come this year. He's like real cheap and he's weird, you know? And so he's always like, he wants a big tree. But his stand, and he has a stand from like 1921, doesn't fit a big tree. But he's
yeah.
like, oh, I want a big tree, and then so I can have it half price. He used to work for me. I called Dan, but like, this guy, he used to work for this guy? Because I cut his grass when I was 13. Yeah, we get some real jokers there.
Well, we don't have a tree up yet. We're going to decorate
I'll
this
get
year.
A tree.
My girlfriend's mother has the light set up from the Griswolds every year, and they get on the front page of the local newspaper with their light set up every year. So I was talking to her the other day, and I was like, you know, we should go, like, big on the house this year and then call up the paper and get our house in and shit. No, but they spend a lot of time on it, man. It looks good. They do, like, every inch of this little ranch house with lights. It's crazy. In the whole yard. And I used to have a guy right down the street from me that would go lights crazy. But, yeah, we haven't got a Christmas tree up yet. We're too busy figuring out renovating the rooms. I call her the dollar store decorator. She goes around and builds all kinds of spiffy stuff on a budget. Anyway, that's trademark. No, not yet. So we got You know what else going on, I guess, upcoming fights. Ryan Garcia's fighting this weekend. A guy named Oscar. Oscar Duarte Jurado. Be in Houston. Somebody on the zone. Garcia 23-1 and Jurado 26-1-1 at lightweight. Title on the line there. And then Shane Mosley Jr. fighting Joshua Conley in the middleweight fight. And Conley's lost three of his last six. 17-5 with one draw at middleweight. Mosley 20-4, just one out of the last six. Losing medal. That's all Saturday. December is upon us. And we got another one over in the Ireland area, Belfast. Michael Conlon in the main event, 18-2 against Jordan Gill, 27-2 at super featherweight. And Tyrone McKenna, 23-3 with one draw, fighting Lewis Crocker, undefeated, 17-0 at welterweight. And then 13-0, Chowming Agyarko, definitely butchering that, fighting Troy Williamson at super welterweight. And Williamson, 21-1, 20 wins, one loss, one draw. Sean McComb, number 49 at super lightweight. 17-1, fighting Sam Maxwell, 17-2, for the WBO European Super Lightweight title. Friday night. Holy crap. Amateur or pro? How about this for a record? Roman Viney, 12-4. Fighting on Friday. A guy named Callum Peters. His record is 75-12 at late heavyweight. 75-12. He's going for 100. Let's see that one. Taylor McDonald also on this card. 35-14 as a female fighter, fighting Aaron Walsh, 25-11 at lightweight. Friday night. I don't even know where. That's Hawaii or something. Waniara. Never heard of it. And, let's see. To talk Bellator. We got PFL. Where'd the PFL fights go? Sometimes it's freaking. No computer can be a pain in the ass. Okay. There he is. Cassius Clay Collard.
Oh my God.
Know that guy? PFL season championship this year. He gave it a go, but Oliver Aubin Mercier is just such a tactician. He's on such a win streak. And Clay, you got to give it to him. Stayed out of a lot of submissions that a lot of guys with his lack of MMA experience on that level would have been lost in. Done, over with, but he scrambled out of so much crap, was in it right to the very end, but yeah, Mercier just picked him apart in certain areas, had a lot of ground control time, and Collard was just, had everything he could do to just stay in the fight till the end, but I did not think it was going to go unanimous decision. Especially with the kind of streak Mercier was on. I thought it would have been knockout or submission early. But, yeah. Clay's submission defense is on a whole nother level now. It's going to need to be with the Bellator folks coming in. But I thought it was great. They did his story on the pay-per-view. I don't know if you saw the pay-per-view thing, Tom, but I watched it through the free feed. I found a real nice free one. And but, yeah, it was good. It was really good. They did this whole backstory of him and how he, you know, rededicated himself to MMA and went back to his coach. And, sorry. But, boy, the look on his face at the end, you could tell he was really hoping he was going to get that big check. But not to be, not this year. Mercier just took care of business. Good fight, though. And then we had a pretty big upset in the co-main event. Guy known for first-round knockouts if he gets them. Waited until just 26 seconds into the second round to get a TKO over Denis Golubtsov, who was doing fairly well in the first round. He got into a little bit of trouble, but he seemed to be managing the fight. And then Herrera said, not so fast. And then Larissa Pacheco had to talk about a streak, a big win streak going. She had finally beaten her big-time rival, who was on the card earlier, Kayla Harrison. And then she went up against Marina Mokratina, and she was not having a TKO. Did not go down, did not go out. She was game to the very end, but lost the unanimous decision. So Pacheco gets that check and that championship at featherweight. Then we have welterweight Magomed Kerimov beating Sadabu Sai by guillotine choke. 1 minute and 17 seconds into the third. And another light heavyweight title fight, Impa Kasangane beating Joshua Silveira by unanimous decision. And Kayla Harrison taking care of business against Aspen Ladd by unanimous decision. Kayla actually does have some striking ability, but just not knockout type stuff. And it sucks because, like, you know, a girl like Aspen Ladd, you would have been an easy bet. Like, you know, she's been through the UFC a little bit, so she knows what's up. But this girl, Kayla, has been dominant, you know. But mostly with wrestling and ground control, Kayla has won fights and submissions. But if she could get those freaking huge arms into some hooks and uppercuts, man, and learn how to really use her leverage, she could be scary. But she could not really do much with Aspen Ladd. She was crafty, so unanimous decision. She'll take it. Derek Brunson, talk about ex-UFC fighter. Whew. Handled, absolutely handled Ray Cooper III. It was like a wipeout. Cooper was looking for the knockout late in the round and just couldn't get it. But Brunson just out-grappled him, out-maneuvered him. That's crazy. Then the early title fight card, Jesus Pinedo, didn't really have to walk on water, but he had the TKO Gabriel Braga to win the fight 58 seconds into the third round. Good match. And then there's always a boxing tie-in. Biagio Ali Walsh, Muhammad Ali's grandson, right?
Nico, is this another grandson?
Yes, MMA guy. KO'd Joel Lopez in the second round. 1 minute and 24 seconds in. That was actually really buzzing in the headlines. Just a vicious knockout. Muhammad would be so proud to see the two kids. His kids doing that. So good stuff. Phil Caracapa, bantamweight, beating Kai Wu, another non-title fight earlier in the night, unanimous decision. And Jesse Stern, 147 catchweight, beating Joshua Blyden by UD. Then we have a UFC fight night coming up. Oh, a UFC fight night we missed. November 18th. Brendan Allen against Paul Craig. And go figure, Brendan went to his old favorite, the rear naked choke, in the third round, submitting Paul Craig, which is a hard bet to make. You know, it goes against all your instincts to make that bet that Brendan Allen was going to submit Paul Craig, even though Brendan Allen has a shitload of rear naked choke submissions. You know, you think of Paul Craig as the guy who is the jiu-jitsu master. You know, like, if he's going to win, it's going to be by submission. Usually.
Did you see that fight, Rich?
I did. I did. It was a disaster.
Did you notice the unusual defense Craig had in the guard, how he kept changing the angle?
Oh, yeah.
It was a smart tactic, but Brendan Allen was just not having it. I mean, he was a smash machine. He just said, welcome to the middleweight division. You know, and
yeah.
He made that comment. He said, yeah, the guy thinks he drops weight and going to have it easy. I mean, he really had a point to prove.
Yeah, he definitely dismantled him top to bottom. And Craig, I mean, he is getting to that point where he's the type of fighter that really has to finish it in the first round if he's going to win at this level, you know, just because people figure him out real quick. So
this isn't the old days. You can't lay on your back.
Yeah.
You can't stay in the guard like that for 15 minutes, you know, because Craig had even said before the fight, oh, I don't care if I'm on my back for 15 minutes. Well, I'll get work out.
Right. And then we had Michael Morales beating Jake Matthews by unanimous decision. That was really sort of a good fight. A little bit of back and forth, but really not much Jake could do with that style. Chase Hooper coming back from kind of a bad start, as usual, to pull off a rear naked choke of his own. 2 minutes and 58 seconds into the first. And, yeah, I thought he was going to lose that fight. But no, he was quick about it. Peyton Talbot, bantamweight. Rear naked choke again. It was a submission of the night, I guess. Over Nick Aguirre. This one was 58 seconds into the third round. We had Amanda Ribas, strawweight, beating Luana Pinheiro by spinning wheel kick and punches, 3 minutes and 53 seconds into the third round. And yeah, that was on the highlight reel. She didn't really connect full force with the wheel kick, but you know, it was like, you know, if you could picture a pimp slap with the foot, that's how it would go down. Boom, right across the face. That was bad. But it was at the end of the fight, and then got called off pretty shortly after that. Mertbek Orlbay beating Euros Medik by a neck crank submission. Medik, I always think he's going to suspiciously plow through people, but this guy, Orlbay, oh, man, he's a different breed altogether. Is you know, they call some people like the human backpack. I think that's this guy's type of style. And he would not let Medik get the distance. He constantly shot for takedowns, grappled the crap out of him, and yeah, it was a bad night for Euros. And then he got a neck crack submission to end it. Oh, so yeah, you gotta watch out for that guy, Orlbay. He's gonna be something worth the wait. Joe Anderson Brito at featherweight beating Jonathan Pierce by ninja choke. If I was an MMA fighter, man, that would be my favorite move, I think. The ninja choke. I don't even know what it is. Sounds cool. All right. Jose Johnson at bantamweight beating Chad Analeger by rear naked choke. Another one. 4 minutes and 49 seconds into round number three. These are 11 seconds left to go. That. And then a guy I love to bet against now that I've seen him get the beatdown live in Boston, Dennis Tallulin. So the second round against Christian Leroy Duncan, who ironically had like the same build and everything as the guy that beat Dennis in Boston pretty quickly by TKO. And Tallulah looked a little bit better here. He looked a little bit more defensive, but you can tell he's just not on the better end of his career. Michael Parkin at heavyweight coming in against Kai Machado, with a lot of them having first round finishes. You would not expect a unanimous decision. I don't even know what the to go the distance bet was, but I should have taken it. Michael Parkin got the win there. Jake Sargi at 148 pound catchweight beat Lucas Alexander by knockout. Took just 1 minute and 31 seconds. Aylin Perez over Lucy Pudilova by unanimous decision. And we had a no contest with Trey Ogden and Nicholas Mota. This is a premature stoppage right now. Let's see what that was all about. Rafael Estevam in the first fight of the night, catchweight, beating Charles Johnson by unanimous decision. Now, let's see. I got a couple pieces of news. So, PFL, we just talked about, they're doing a TV deal, multi-year rights with ESPN. Guess who needs a TV deal? Premier Boxing Champions, still shuffling around. It seems like, you know, Showtime is getting out of combat sports entirely if they're not going to have Bellator anymore. So, they've already got rid of boxing. They probably just said, you know, we spent money on sports, we're not getting a return. So this Prime, Amazon Prime thing is now reportedly close to getting sealed for PBC. So they're going to get into it where Showtime's getting out. I don't know, though. I guess it's a good move because the way the smart TVs are going, you know, we just got one ourselves. And, you know, everything's an app. So it's almost better now to have like five or six apps than it is to have cable. We're getting to that point. So, you know, if you got the Prime app on the TV, you know, the only thing that sucks is like it could be very jumpy. It could be like satellite TV sometimes, especially with the football games. Like, and this might be I haven't really watched a lot of it through the TV since I bought it. I used to watch it just through the computer. So maybe it's different with the TV. But anyway, so PBC still got a lot of big-time fighters signed up with the organization and, you know, Al Haymon behind it. So I'm sure they will find their way if it's not with Amazon Prime, but it's kind of interesting. Kind of interesting. I'm having such a load of issues with the freaking postal service and Amazon itself. I normally wouldn't recommend Prime, but if you do happen to get it, you know, you might end up with a good deal having an option to watch PBC fights on it. Here's a good one for Tyson Fury. Anthony Joshua could fight Deontay Wilder in an unbelievable final eliminator for Tyson Fury's WBC title. If they both win their next fight, supposedly. They'll be on course to box each other next year. WBC has confirmed to Sky Sports that their heavyweight championship will not only be contested in the Tyson Fury versus Alexander Usyk undisputed title fight, but also an expected Fury-Usyk rematch. Wilder Joshua, what do you think about that one?
I like Wilder. I do. Because, you know, Wilder got in the second Tyson Fury fight. And he came back, and he still knocked the guys out. And then he came back to the third Tyson Fury fight, and he didn't fight Gungey. I mean, he got knocked out, but he fought, and he won that he was there to win. And he took chances, and he had Fury on the ground twice. Anthony Joshua, I don't think, has ever been mentally the same since he got dropped and hurt bad by Vladimir Klitschko back in, like, 2017.
Yeah.
He then, well, a few years later...
No. I think through his whole career, doesn't he have, like, that...
He was down, what, like, seven times against Andy Ruiz?
He has, like, that reputation of being kind of afraid of the sport, almost. Like, since then... It's like, you know, is he really cut out for this? Does he really want this? Does he really believe in this? Like, did he just end up here?
Right, exactly. I mean, I think Wilder comes out there, and Wilder's going to fight. You know, Wilder's going to be like a gunslinger. And, you know, where Joshua is going to be cautious. So, I mean, Joshua could, what could happen is, you know, Wilder comes out there with his sloppy, awkward, free-swinging style. And, you know, Joshua staying away from him lands a good counterpunch and knocks him out. Absolutely possible. But the likelihood is Joshua's going to try to box. Wilder's going to come in swinging. And eventually he's going to land. And if he does, it's wiped out. And Joshua will go out.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. That should be interesting if it does happen. That would sell.
Oh, I think it'll be very interesting.
That would sell for sure. You're going to like this one, Tony. This is my last bit of news that I have. Ryan Garcia's got beef now. We got some infighting because he's mad at the boy, Bernard Hopkins, because he feels that he was disrespected. So I guess Hopkins said something about they're going to decide whether he should continue his career after this fight with Oscar Duarte. And he's like, oh, he's got nothing to do with whether I continue my career. And he says this is another sign that his own promoters don't believe in him. He's 26-1-1. We just talked about his fight. Now he says he could be moving on to a different promoter unless I can convince him to re-sign. So obviously PBC up in the air. You know, do you risk going there? No. But yeah. What do you think about your promoter saying, hey, maybe he fights after this, maybe he doesn't?
Well, I mean, that doesn't give you a whole big shot of confidence in the arm, that does it?
Yeah, no. He says, this is funny, I'm there only going with boy. He says, what the hell does he mean? I'll make the decision. He ain't going to make shit. He can't make shit about me. You know what? The crazy thing is, I'm going to box my ass off, and it's going to be great. And then I'm going to box my ass off for a team, Golden Boy Promotions, that don't even believe in me. But damn, they'll collect that money I'm making them. They'll collect that $6 million, though, but you don't know if I should box again. But you made that money off that fight, though. Yeah, shut up. Watch when I win. That's just what it's going to be. That's a Philly gym war in the press, Tony. So if Ryan defeats Duarte, there's a good chance he'll fight Devin Haney next if he gets past 140-pound champ Regis Prograis. Ryan versus Haney would be huge for next year. So anyway. Ryan is confident.
Interesting round robin there.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, hopefully they'll smooth those issues out. Never want to see a fighter take shots at his own management and vice versa.
I don't know. Well, it's not the first time it happened. Dale Hoyer took shots when he was with Bob Arum.
Floyd took shots from the Showtime guy,
everybody.
The boxing guy. Was fucking, what's the guy's name there?
Didn't Floyd take shots at
was the guy, the guy that said if I was your age, I would whip your ass.
Oh, that was Larry Merchant.
Larry the Mad Hatter. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was funny. If I was your age, I'd whip your ass.
You know what, Larry? No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. That's easy to say. You know.
Yeah.
Easy to say.
I'll hit you with my cane right now, I should have said.
Yeah.
Good buddy.
If I was your age, I'd kick your ass. No, you wouldn't. In fact, you know, Floyd could have doubled down and been like, listen, I like, Larry, if I was your age and you were my age, I'd still whip your ass.
Well, it is what it is. At any rate, what else did we miss? Did we miss anything big? I think we covered it all.
I don't think so.
We did the recaps. What do we got for upcoming UFC, I'm sure. That's upcoming. Yeah, there it is. Okay. In Austin, Texas. Yeah, Beneil Dariush against Armin Tsarukyan. That's quite some timing with all the stuff going on over in Israel. You got an Israeli fighter in the main event. In Texas. 22-5-1 is Beneil Dariush fighting Tsarukyan, who is 20-3. That'd be a pretty good fight. Matchmaking on paper, anyway. Pretty fun, that one. Have to do some deep dive analysis to figure that one out. And then we got Jalen Turner, 13-7 at lightweight, fighting Bobby Green, 31-14-1. Sort of a little journeyman action going on there in the co-main event. And the always exciting Rob Font, 20-7 against the former champ, Deiveson Figueiredo, 21-3-1 at bantamweight. That one should be crazy action on the bell each round. And we got 15-1 at welterweight, fighting Kelvin Gastelum, who is 18-8. That one is going to be fight of the night, probably, I think, if it's up to the billing. Both guys. You might have heard of this guy before. Clay Guida, 38-23.
Oh, yeah.
Clay the Carpenter Guida, still going at it. Hammer and nails in the octagon. 38-23. Yikes. There are a lot of people out there that's carrying that kind of record forward. Joaquin Silva is his opponent, 12-4 at lightweight. One of these days, we're probably going to see Clay lay his gloves down, you'd think. But so far, not yet. Not yet. We got Punahele Soriano, 9-3 at middleweight, fighting Dustin Stoltzfus, who is 14-5 at middleweight. And look at this. Misha Tate back in the octagon, in the middle of the card. 19-9, former guest of ours back in the day, a few years ago. She's fighting Julia Avila, 9-2, apparently. Cody Brundage on this card as well. 9-5 at middleweight, fighting Zachary Reese, who's undefeated at 6-0. And then we've got Joe Solecki, 13-3 at lightweight, fighting Drakkar Close. That's not a cologne, that is a fighter. Yes, 13-2-1. Steve Garcia at featherweight, 14-5, fighting Melquisedeque Costa, who is 20-6. Rodolfo Balato, 11-2 at light heavyweight, fighting Ihor Potiera at light heavyweight. Balato, I believe, just came from the Contender Series. Just had won some money on his last win. Wellington Terman. Not a name you see on those fighters. Wellington. Wellington, would you get the boxing gloves? 18-7 at welterweight, fighting Jared Gooden, who's 22-9. Like, if you wrote that into a movie script, I don't think you would sell many movies. Wellington. Could you picture Wellington 4, like Rocky 4? It wouldn't happen. No, bad idea. You'd get shot down. Veronica Hardy in the first fight of the night. She is 7-4-1 at flyweight, fighting Jamie Lynn Horse, who's 6-0. That's it for events. I don't know about other news. They keep saying early next year on the Bellator versus PFL fights, but, you know, knowing how shit works and how shit gets folded in after the deal gets done, we don't even know if that's actually going to happen. They might change their minds. But the fighters seem in on it, so maybe they've talked this through. Maybe, I mean, obviously the production crew knew shit was going down before it went down, so it seems like they've been talked through it. They just don't know whether they're going to be personally back or not, you know, the announcers, but I'm pretty sure all the fighters will be. And, you know, you'd think with the UFC, the way they got kind of a lot of flack for doing that. Oh, yeah, it's going to be business as usual, and then totally folding it right in as predicted instead of letting it stay going when they bought a couple things, Pride and Strikeforce. And hey, that's how the cookie crumbles, I guess they say. Anyway, that's about all I can think of as far as what we missed. There's a lot of action. The ass-kicking machine, I still love that story that he lived up to his name. The very last Bellator event, I can always say I made money off. Off the ass kicking machine. People think I'm talking about AI 20 years from now when I say that. The ass kicking machine? What's that? It's a cyborg. You'll be watching PBC on Amazon Prime, Tony. You got to get up on your subscriptions.
Okay.
Like PVC. All right. Till next week.
Wish me luck this weekend, guys.
Yeah.
All right. We will, buddy. All right. I'll see you guys next week.
Just go start throwing punches at him. You'll get his attention.
Right. Yeah, I'll try not to do that.
Yeah, I was saying, enjoy the fight. You may be in one.
Yeah.
I'll try not to.
I'll see you guys.
All right, see you later.